On today's episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-commerce Brand, I had the pleasure of talking to Blake Hutchison from Flippa. Flippa is an online marketplace where buyers and sellers meet. Such a great conversation. I've been a huge fan of Flippa for years and years. Still have not done a transaction on Flippa, but I know I'm probably going to at some point this year. If you guys have ever thought or listened to me talk about acquiring businesses, this is a really great conversation. I get into a lot of nitty-gritty details that I think really matter when it comes to using a third-party marketplace for a transaction like this. And some of the things that you may be scared about, you guys are not going to want to miss this one. Hey guys, are you struggling to create offers that actually convert? Look no further than our must-have brand new course called Million Dollar Offers. With just a few short videos, you're going to learn the seven essential elements of a million dollar offer and how to leverage the power of AI and ChatGPT to iterate on your headlines and your prompts. The great news is that this course is actually completely free. So Google Upgrowth Academy, that's Upgrowth Academy, and look for the course called Million Dollar Offers. You guys will not regret this one. Now on to today's episode.
Did you hear the story about the brand that spent thousands of dollars to have their credit card data analyzed, thinking their customers were moms aged 45 to 55, just to find out through a post-purchase survey that it was actually their teenage daughters who were the ones that were purchasing using their mom's credit card? Attribution is one of the most important pieces of the e-commerce puzzle. And nowadays, it seems like the industry might be moving backwards instead of forwards. Identifying the real buyer and tracking their behavior is getting more and more complicated. Even the tools that we do have often miss these critical pieces of the actual full picture. Enter KnoCommerce, the post-purchase survey platform that has been used by top-tier brands like Pura Vida, Olipop, and True Classic, leading them to those coveted customer conversion insights. KnoCommerce allows you to generate surveys directly on your confirmation screen in minutes, helping you answer foundational questions like, hey, how did you first hear about us? And deeper inquiries like, who do you usually buy gifts for? This goldmine of information provides a glimpse into the lifestyle of the human who is purchasing from you, not just their age, gender, or income bracket. With over 4 million questions answered every single month and an average response rate above 50% using pre-built templates, you'll be collecting actionable market and customer intelligence in no time. If you're ready to boost your attribution, then please head over to KnoCommerce.com. That's KnoCommerce.com and tell them that Jordan sent you. Also, tell them that Jordan sent you and you'll get 50% off for the first 3 months with a 14-day free trial. Again, head over to KnoCommerce.com. That's KnoCommerce.com and tell them that Jordan sent you.
Hey guys, Jordan West back with another episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-commerce Brand. Today, I'm joined by Blake Hutchison from Flippa. Blake, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jordan. Good to be here. I'm excited to have the chat.
Absolutely. You're somebody who I've actually wanted to talk to for a long time. Even actually before, I believe it was your assistant that reached out about coming on the podcast. I'd actually wanted to meet you before, or at least talk to somebody at Flippa, just because I thought that your company is super cool. I've been known about you guys for a long time, looked at a lot of listings on there. For people who don't know anything about you or anything about Flippa, just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Thank you, Jordan. Yeah, I'm the CEO here at Flippa. We're a marketplace to buy and sell online businesses. So we have a global community, about 3 million users who utilize us to either exit a small digital business. So it could be e-com, could be a blog, could be an app, could be a SaaS business. Could even be a podcast, Jordan. So one day there's an opportunity for you there. And on the buy side, you get people who buy to complement an existing portfolio, or they could be an acquisition entrepreneur who are looking to, instead of do the 0 to 1 lift, they're going to shift from 1 to 10.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I started looking at listings, I mean, almost on the daily, probably about 3 years ago, when we kind of got in the financial position where we're like, you know, we want to keep building things, but dang, I don't like going like zero, right? I want to take something from 1 to 10, use my 0 to 1 abilities to take it from 1 to 10, right? And so that's when I started really getting into this world and really realizing like, oh man, acquisitions make so much more financial sense than going after and trying to find product market fit and all of that kind of stuff. So that's sort of where I you know, ended up at Flippa. I'd love to hear about your journey. You know, you've been with Flippa for about the last 4 or 4.5 years. I'd love to hear about the journey of where you guys really found your product market fit and were able to start helping both buyers and sellers.
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, Marketplaces are really difficult. We all know that. We talk about the chicken or the egg problem. We talk about supply side. We talk about demand side. So let's just define that very, very quickly. So supply is obviously a business owner. So that's the network of business owners all over the world who run these digital assets. Again, could be an e-commerce business, could be a blog, whatever. On the demand side, you've got buyers. So that's a group of people like you who are looking at these assets and saying, yeah, maybe I'll acquire one of these and take the growth reins. And so you have to try to understand whether there's an opportunity in the first place. And so that that first problem to solve relates to, is there enough supply and is the supply motivated enough to utilize a marketplace for the purposes of meeting a prospective buyer and ultimately exiting? So what you're essentially doing is figuring out whether there are industries that are analogous. And I guess real estate would be analogous, right? So the fact that there is a Zillow in North America and equivalents all over the world where people can list homes and homes can be perused and interrogated to some extent and ultimately purchased in a marketplace context, albeit it's a high value, low repeat marketplace, and the transaction will typically take place off the marketplace. It still is a marketplace. And so that would be considered analogous.
Gotcha.
And so in our case, we were lucky. We were fortunate because Flippr was a spin-off. So Flippr started on SitePoint. So SitePoint was a developer forum. And the developers, it wasn't like some founders came together and said, hey, isn't this a great idea? The forum decided to start trading digital assets.
Gotcha.
And so individuals like you or I are sitting inside this developer forum. And I'm saying, hey, Jordan, that, you know, looks like a pretty cool site you've built. Can I take it off your hands? And that was just happening naturally for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So then we were able to carve that out into a standalone entity. And once we carved it out into a standalone entity, it was a function of saying, look what other people are doing on the platform. Would you like to do it too?
Yeah.
And product market fit in a marketplace land is really the point at which you have enough supply to satisfy enough demand. And that demand is seeing the supply as well priced and adequate for their acquisition needs. And so once you're sort of doing around $10 million in transaction value, which means revenue of maybe about $1 million, you could probably define that as product market fit in our landscape. And so from there, it's about, well, what type of assets do people want to sell? Is it e-com? Is it blogs? Is it apps? Is it Instagram accounts? Is it YouTube channels? And what do you need to know about those businesses to adequately present them on your site so that buyers find them interesting enough to inquire about? So what we tend to do is we focus on a one-line strategy, which is all about matching. So match high-quality business owners to acquisition-fit buyers. That's all we have to talk about every day here at Flippr internally. Match high-quality business owners to acquisition-fit buyers. So you've got three problems to solve, right? The first one is, who is a high quality buyer? Do they have the capacity to spend?
Yeah. The second one is, how do you know that? Right? Because anyone can come. There's no like sales qualification process comparatively to talking to a broker. How do you figure that one out?
Yeah. So you do it a few ways. You add layers of verification.
Yeah.
So you put the buyer, you ask the buyer to jump through some hoops.
Yeah, I've done that.
The second thing you do is you watch their activity and their behaviors. Mm. Okay. Yeah. And so if someone's just looking at lots of assets of all different price points all over the place, you could probably argue that they haven't quite figured out what their approach is going to be, how they're going to do it, what
probably
their
no
budget
investment
is,
thesis.
And maybe they don't have an investment thesis. Maybe they're not very experienced. That's okay. They can peruse, they can learn. Whereas some people's behaviors are extraordinarily constrained and very, very specific. Yeah. So I'm looking for a travel blog that I want to acquire. And so they continue to come back to the website and they continue to put their best foot forward. And so to some extent, you can start to score that buyer as being a relevant buyer and you can start to match to that particular buyer. Now, then, of course, the ultimate answer to your question, Jordan, is once they start buying, right?
Yes. Yes.
So once they have any historical behavior on the platform, you can deem them to be a worthy buyer for another asset that is equally similar.
Yeah. Yeah. That totally makes sense. Thanks for letting me pop into that one there, Blake. I wanted to make sure that we went through that.
Yeah. I mean, the really interesting thing that we've just done is we've just built, and it takes a while because you've got to have the data. We've just built our first AI-based recommendation engine for buyer matching. And so that takes into consideration, it's basically a graph neural network. So what it does is it says, what are Jordan's behaviors? What does Jordan's transaction history look like? And are Blake's behaviors similar to Jordan's in any way? And you're looking at hundreds of different variables. And so you and I then appear on a two-dimensional scatter plot, and we are either very far apart from each other or we're very close to each other on that scatter plot. Yeah. So we can then make an assumption that Blake is actually similar to Jordan and then recommend Blake to consider similar assets to what Jordan has looked at or considered purchasing.
Yeah.
And so that matching algorithm is running all the time. And that's really, really important because otherwise you can't place your liquidity where it needs to go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got the sell side. So what is a high-quality business owner? Well, this is a really tricky one, right? Because you've got a high-quality listing, you've got a high-quality asset, and you've got a high-quality owner. So you've got three dimensions. Because you can have a great asset and a terrible listing. You can have a great asset and a bad owner. So we've got hundreds of different variables from which we score those three things. Mm. And we also coach the business owners around that stuff programmatically by giving them a good onboarding experience, by telling them and giving them tools and tips about what buyers are looking for and how buyers are engaging with their listing. So you're trying to ascertain. Now, what it turns out to be is the average business that sells on Flipper is 4.5 years old. So age is a factor.
Mm.
The average business that sells on Flipper is a growing asset. So growth is a factor, which means clearly, to be really crass about it, something that is declining consistently is unlikely to be a sellable asset on Flipper.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got the matching aspect. So, you know, we talked about high-quality business owners. We talked about acquisition fit buyers. And now our only job is to just bring them together as efficiently as possible.
Yeah.
And so that's what we work on every day as a marketplace. How do you place people with the right people to ensure a deal gets done? Because happy customers in our world is when a business owner says, wow, my bank account just received a deposit from escrow to say your business is now effectively and efficiently sold.
Yeah, yeah, which is just absolutely incredible. Blake, I got a few questions for you here as we kind of get into the conversation a bit. So why would somebody list their business on Flippa versus going with the sort of traditional, you know, a traditional broker or office like that? Why would somebody decide on Flippa?
So there's the short answer and a longer one. The short answer is lots and lots and lots of buyers. So think about it as a social network. So Flippa has the world's largest universe of buyers. We pick up 1,000 new buyers a day, 30,000 new buyers a month. We have a couple of million buyers on our database, and we are accurately and effectively matching those buyers to assets as they come through.
Yeah.
And so when you think about buying a business, there may be an individual who's willing to pay me $1 million. Well, what if there's another individual that's willing to pay me 1.1? That is a competitive process that is worthwhile going through.
Yeah.
Flipper can do that better than anyone else by a function of scale. The second
And transparently. Lot more transparently than with a broker.
Yeah.
We all know brokers in all, you know, aspects. Great people. I've had lots of brokers on here before. But it's there is a bit of a mask over top of that process. So.
And then the second thing is Flipper, of course, allows brokers. Plus, we have our own in-house advisors, right? We've got 12 advisors. We've got probably more advisors than the average broker. Yeah. So our advisors sit on top of our technology.
Yeah.
And so you're combining their skill set, their ability to negotiate, their ability to prepare the marketing materials, their ability to vet and verify the asset, their ability to have effective conversations when you're at the office doing what you need to do on your small business to ensure it continues to operate. Plus, they're getting the benefit of that network. Plus, they're getting the benefit of the AI. So that is a critical piece. And we find that deals move faster and at a higher value with Flipper.
So let's pretend I'm a buyer, right? I come to Flippa and I find a listing that I absolutely love. And I'm like, I don't want to go through Flippa. I'm going to just find this person and talk directly to them. Why, first of all, would I do that? And then why wouldn't I do that? How am I being protected or, you know, what are the reasons that I would actually continue to go through the platform?
Yeah. I mean, what I would say, I have a positive view of humankind. And so my general answer to that question is, well, most people don't deliberately circumvent. You know, most people are decent by nature. Yeah. And so they respect the service for the most part. So why would I go through Flippr? There's a couple of things. One, what Flippr does is connect to the data sources. So when a business owner lists, they'll connect to their QuickBooks Online or their Xero for cloud accounting. They'll connect their Shopify, Magento, WooCommerce, Stripe, or PayPal for their e-commerce revenue records and customer data. They'll connect their Google Analytics for traffic transparency. They'll connect any number of different sources that we have to ensure that the buyers can adequately assess the quality of the asset and make an informed decision about its peaks and troughs and seasonality and historical trading patterns.
Yeah.
The buyers like that. And so we make available insights, benchmarks, comps to all of the buyers. And these are some of the new things that we've built. In addition to that, you've got integrated escrow and trust accounts for simplified payments. You've got embedded letters of intent and access to asset purchase agreements. You've got our in-house advisory staff and you've got our post-sales completion team. So you can circumvent and hold the cards and take the risk.
Totally.
Or you can use us and everything will be A-OK.
And there's no advantage for a buyer to go around it. There's like literally, there's no cost, right, to the buyer.
Correct. Flippr is free for buyers. It's a really important thing. I'm not sure why you would circumvent.
I just wanted to put it out there because I feel like that is something that people, whether or not they are good people or not, I think sometimes people come to a marketplace and they think, I can get a better deal. Or I can get a better, like if I go around, you know, like, oh, we can be like, oh, hey, look, you don't have to pay Flippr this amount of money, right? And I just want, because as much as I believe in humankind, I also believe that people do things, they do whatever they can get away with.
Yeah.
And I know that's horrible and I love people so much, but I was a paramedic for 12 years and I will tell you, I saw, it's like being a police officer, you know, it's like you see just that layer of people, right? And we all have it in us. So this is kind of why I wanted to bring this up because
Money's money, right? And so sometimes a buyer could say, all right, it's $1 million asset, and I'm just using $1 million for easy math.
Sure.
It's $1 million asset. Flippr's success fee on that is 5%. So you're going to owe Flippr $50,000 if you sell your $1 million asset. So you're going to have $1 million asset. You're going to have $950,000 in pocket. How about this? We'll take it off Flippr and I'll give you $975,000. So you're $25,000 up. So the deal was meant to be $1 million deal.
Yeah.
It's now actually a $975,000 deal. Yeah. But hey, seller, you're up because you don't have to play Flippr. Now, the problem with that is that, one, inevitably, we have a contract with the business owner. So if you take that deal, it's not going to work out that well for you because we follow the ownership records. But the other thing is most business owners want to redeploy capital. And so we find that a lot of our sellers come back to our platform to buy. So you want to have a good relationship with a marketplace if it's feeding you.
Yeah, totally. That totally makes sense. I've got a few more questions for you here, Blake, because I'm really interested. I love, just so everyone knows, like Blake is not a sponsor, nothing like that. I love Flippr. I go on there constantly to look for businesses. We're we haven't been as liquid this last year as we have been in the past, so haven't deployed any of those yet, but. But man, I'm on there like constantly looking for businesses. And so this is a really fun chance for me to sort of get some of these questions answered, right? That are from the platform. What size of business makes sense to sell on Flippr?
Yeah, so we're price agnostic and we can do that because, you know, we've got the tech, so we've got the scale and we've also got the advisors who work on the bigger deals. So long story short, you can sell something as small as $5,000 and as big as $50 million. The biggest deal we did last year was 35 mil.
Wow, you did deals that big on Flippr.
Yeah.
I did not know that, Blake.
So we have an on-market and we have an off-market. And so a lot of our biggest deals are basically getting the benefit of our recommendation engine without having to list. Choose our platform, get access to all of the buyers without actually ever being exposed to the broader markets.
So, which is very important for businesses who do not want their employees or I was going to say shareholders. Their shareholders should know, but if they don't want certain people to know that they are selling, I think that's incredibly important, especially for bigger businesses.
Yeah. Look, our sweet spot is around $250,000. So $250,000 is the Flippr sweet spot.
Gotcha. Okay. That's great to know. Like, I've got another very specific question, but I feel like other people may actually have this the same one. So I consider myself a pretty good negotiator. And one of the things that I absolutely love to do is negotiate terms, right? Yeah. Price is price, and you know, there's great calculations for price, and that to me is a lot easier. It's the terms that are the interesting part. How do you marry terms together with a deal on Flippa?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. And savvy buyers, perhaps like yourself, who love to negotiate, will give you some really, you know, interesting deal structures to consider. So when you submit the LOI, and you can either upload your own or you can use our embedded tech and set your terms, we see any number of deal structures. So you'll see seller financing. For everyone's benefit, seller financing is when you, Jordan West, are essentially the bank. I agree to pay you off over X period of time at X percent interest rate. So buyers like that. Buyers like that because they get to defer the upfront payment, but they get to take hold of the asset. They essentially get to use the cash flow from the asset to repay to pay for the price of the acquisition. So that's really common. What we will tend to see there is 75% down. So let's say it's $1 million price point. $750,000 down, $250,000 paid out over 24 months at a 5 to 7% interest rate, paid monthly.
Yeah.
We see stability payments. So a stability payment is when I say to the business owner, okay, you've got a great business. It's doing $250,000. I'm going to pay you $500,000, so 2x net profit for that asset. But what I want to do is I want to incentivize you to stay on board and or consult to me. And in the event that we achieve 90% of prior year's revenue or 110%, whatever the deal says, you will get a kicker. And the kicker is worth X, which is maybe an extra 1x. So maybe an extra 250 or something like that, which means you end up having a 3x price multiple. So all of that happens on the platform. And that is buyers and sellers having effective conversations with each other. And we would always encourage that, right? Typically lower price deals, I would say sub 100K is just all cash.
Yeah, of course.
And cash buyers win every day of the week because you'll get a buyer who's new and they say, hey, I've heard about this seller financing thing. I'll give you $50,000 now and I'll give you $50,000 in seller financing. The problem is there's too many buyers who have 100K cash. So typically very easy negotiation. But yeah, all sorts of creative deal structures can happen.
Cool, that's great. I wasn't sure if you were able to paper them within the platform or not.
Yeah, you just document it on the letter of intent, you upload it, and that gets registered with escrow.
Guys, right after this conversation, I've got 15 minutes. I'm going straight back onto Flippa after this, so I'm pumped. Blake, I got to ask you the question that I ask everyone who comes on the podcast. What is your secret to scaling?
Yeah, so our secret to scaling is focus and planning. So what I mean by focus is every single person in the company has one defined KPI, one, awesome. Not three, not two, so that we can assess them against something very simple that they understand. Planning, we do 8-week sprints. So we run everything to 8-week cycles. So we have 2 weeks planning time, 8 weeks delivery, 2 weeks planning time, 8 weeks delivery. And that happens across every department, the sales department, the marketing department, the people and culture department, the engineering department, everyone works to the same 8-week cycle, which means there's great unification in what you're trying to deliver. And there's always a milestone that you can celebrate at the end.
I love that. Is that more of like a SaaS model?
I must admit, we took it from the YouTube. They did 16 weeks. So when Google bought YouTube way back when, they realized they had to operate outside the Google cadence. And so they came up with what they call the YouTube hypergrowth model, which I think was 16-week sprints, if I remember correctly. Okay. Ours are a little bit different. We're just a different stage of company. We've got a lot more to achieve, so we have to go on smaller cycles. But I don't know whether SaaS businesses do it, but I encourage it for everyone. It's really great because instead of trying to think, oh, wow, what's my 12-month plan? What's my quarterly plan? 8 weeks or 4 weeks even is a nice period of time from which you can achieve something and get to celebrate it.
And there's something about quick wins, right? Like even we also own and run an agency, and everyone on here knows that, Upgrowth Commerce. And one of the things that we're always trying to do when people come in is let's get some quick wins right away, right? What can we do that's quick? Because yes, there's going to be a bunch of long-term things we're going to figure out, but those quick wins really matter to get that really positive reinforcement cycle. So I love that for you and your team, Blake. And man, every time I have a podcast interview, guys, I realize how much I don't know and how in my early 20s, I thought I literally knew everything. And I find out every day I don't know anything. So thank you, Blake.
The other thing I'll quickly say, Jordan, about that is it constrains thinking, right? So when you only have 8 weeks to achieve something, you actually have to be very defined about what you're going to do because the expectation is something gets delivered.
Yeah, smaller plates, right? It's like profit first, like the same sort of idea where it's like, this is your constraint, work within it.
Yeah.
Right? You don't get to jump all over it, especially for us entrepreneurs. That's like the best and the worst thing, right? It's like you never finish anything ever. So
yeah,
yeah, that's great. Blake, I got three more questions for you. I hope that you're ready.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. First question, favorite podcast or audiobook that you're listening to right now?
You've asked me the cheeky, I'll give you the cheeky answer. My favorite podcast is ours. That is just blatant advertising, but I'll do it anyway because people love it. So it's called The Exit, and it's for people who have been there and done that. And what we find about exits is it's a mysterious world that most people don't get to experience. And so we interview, you know, literally the Zappos co-founder, people who have bought and sold really big businesses, and we get deep inside the psyche and the negotiation and how it played out. So check out The Exit because it's super interesting stuff.
Cool. We'll make sure that that link goes into the show notes, guys. And that cheeky answer, that's perfect, Blake. That's what I'm looking for. Now this one, I'm not gonna let you say flip on this one. Favorite tool or app that you're using right now?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you the most old school tool that everyone laughs about. So I use Evernote religiously.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
The elephant.
And I've been using Evernote religiously for, I don't know when it was founded, but I reckon 15 years. And so every single one-on-one that I've had for the last 15 years, Evernote has a record of. And so it's actually really powerful because its search is quite strong. And so I can say, okay, well, what did Jordan say in March? And it just gives me all of our one-on-one records and we can go and read through those. And I do it in all of our planning meetings, write every note down. And so it's everyone laughs at me, but Evernote is my go-to tool still.
Totally. I mean, Evernote was kind of the original Notion, right? Like,
Yeah.
The second brain. Well, that's great, Blake. Last question for you. You just found out you have a year to live. What changes?
I probably wouldn't work as hard as I do, Jordan. Let's hope for that. I would grab my daughter and my wife and we would go and see things we've always wanted to see. Mm. And hopefully that means some of the most interesting places, cultures, food, and people around the world.
That's great, Blake. Really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for handling some of these questions here. Wish that we could have gone for a lot longer, but I feel like we got the nitty gritty down. Where can people find out more about you and more about Flippa? Where's the best place for them to follow you?
Yeah, so look, I'm more LinkedIn than I am anything else, and I am very communicative there. So feel free to send me a direct message or follow me or connect, and I'd love to connect with everyone. Just type in Blake Hutchison, look for Flippa, and you'll find me there.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Blake. And I'm pretty sure we're connected on there. So I'll make sure to send you a DM or two at some point.
Thank you so much, Jordan.
Only to sell you something, I'm sure, but you know.
Please do.
Awesome. Are you an e-commerce founder or marketing leader struggling to get new offers or creative and copy to test fast enough in your ad accounts? Do you feel like your ad campaigns are falling flat and not generating the results that you actually need this year? The pain of not being able to effectively test and optimize your ad campaigns can lead to tons of missed sales and a huge amount of lost revenue. But we've created a solution. Introducing the Viral Offer Bundle from Upgrowth Commerce. For just $99, you're going to receive 10 highly engaging image creatives, 30 scroll-stopping headlines, 30 captivating ad copy variations, and 30 ad descriptions. These powerful tools are going to help you quickly test and optimize your ad campaigns to get the best results possible. Do not miss out on another sale. Visit www.upgrowthcommerce.com/offer to buy today and then start seeing that relief from your ad campaign pain. Again, that's upgrowthcommerce.com/offer. Now on to today's episode. Hey guys, just wanted to say thanks again so much for listening to the podcast. If I could ask one favor of you, it would be to share this with your other e-commerce store owner friends. We want everyone in the e-com space to be listening to this podcast, and lots of you guys already are, and we really, really appreciate that. One last thing before you go as well is we are offering to our podcast listeners a free e-commerce growth plan where we go from strategy to sale with your brand in this e-commerce growth plan. So feel free to go to www.upgrowthcommerce.com/grow and apply for a free growth plan today. Thank you all again so much for listening.